Name of Jesus.
Amen.
Happy Gentiles can be God's people today. For that's what the readings for this second Sunday after Pentecost tell us. That you do not have to be a Jew to be one of God's favored people. In fact, now, since the incarnation, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be a Christian is to be a member of the true Israel. We are descendants, the seed of Abraham. We are those who, by God's grace in Christ, have received the promise of forgiveness and salvation. We are those whom God has accepted, whom God has grafted into Israel. So we are united with the prophets and the patriarchs and all the Old Testament saints as well as the New Testament saints. So, happy Gentiles can be God's people today. We see this in the Old Testament reading, where Solomon stands before the altar of the Lord and in the presence of the assembly, and he prays at the end of the, or at the beginning of verse 41. Likewise, when a foreigner, when an alien, when someone who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country for your name's sake, because he has heard the greatness of the name of the Lord and of his mighty hand and his outstretched arm to save his people. Indeed, as those baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we are here this day for the Lord's name's sake. Yeah, that's why we are here. Anyway, when this alien, when this person who is not of Israel comes and prays toward this house, hear in heaven your dwelling place, O Lord. Hear this Gentile's prayer and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house that I, Solomon, have built is called by your name. Again, there in the Old Testament, we have the promise of the Gentiles coming to God, coming to call upon his name, coming to trust in the God of Israel, who has fully made himself known to us through the incarnation of his Son, God become man. And then in the gospel reading for today, we have a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. He was a Gentile. Now, technically, his status was that of a God-fearer. That was a term applied to Gentiles, non-Jewish people, who worshipped the God of Israel, who believed that he was the one true God, but who had not taken that final step toward conversion of being circumcised. This person was a God-fearer. Apparently, he feared something else as well. Anyway, he comes to Jesus. He comes to Jesus in faith, because he has a servant who is deathly ill, and he asks Jesus to heal this servant. The long and short of it is that Jesus heard his request, and he marveled at him, and he turned to the crowd that followed him, and he said, I tell you, not even in Israel, not even in those who formerly bear God's name, have I found such faith. Happy Gentiles can be God's people today. And that is the gist, that is the burden, that is the point of St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. Because the church in Galatia was largely composed of Gentiles, non-Jewish people, those who at one time had been strangers and outcasts to Israel, but in Christ Jesus had been brought near. Everything sounds good, right? Everything sounds wonderful. These people who were alienated from God by their trespasses and sins had been brought into God's family through the gospel, had been sealed with the Spirit in their baptism. So again, everything seems hunky-dory. And yet, it wasn't. Because there was a group called the Judaizers. These were Jews who bore the name of Christians, but they thought Christianity was not enough to save a person. They thought that the Gentile had to, in effect, become a Jew. They thought the Gentile, if he was a male, had to be circumcised before he could receive the full benefits of Christ. They thought that the Gentile had to bind himself or herself to keeping the Jewish law, both the ceremonial law and the moral law of God. Ceremonial law. You had to worship on the Sabbath, which was Saturday. Sorry, bacon lovers, no bacon for you. You had to perform all the rituals that marked you out as a Jew, that marked you out as one of God's holy ones. And they came to the church in Galatia saying, "Sorry, guys, you don't measure up. Let us teach you how to become a real Christian." But we heard the gospel as proclaimed by Paul, the gospel of grace. Well, as for that Paul fellow, he didn't really have it right. He left some important stuff out because he wanted to win a following among you. So here, we're going to tell you how it really is. Pay attention, and you can be real Christians at last. Paul begins the epistle to the Galatians with this. Paul, an apostle, one sent from God. That's what an apostle is, one who has been sent by God. I wasn't sent from men. I wasn't sent through man. But rather, I was sent. I was chosen. I was personally called to come to you by Christ and God the Father. Paul begins, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. These are important biblical terms. Grace is God's favor toward sinners. God's undeserved favor. It's not something we earn. Grace is not a quality in ourselves, a quality, not equality. Grace is what impels God, I-M-P-E-L-S, to send His Son into the world, to die for sinners, to die for you and me, so that through faith in Him, we may have life, eternal life, in His name. Grace is a quality in God. It is not something within you. What is within you, what is within me, is sin, rebellion, death. But grace, God, by grace, chooses to love sinners and bring them into His household. Now, we all know what peace is. The world has not experienced a day of peace, probably, since Cain killed his brother Abel. There are wars, there are rumors of wars, there's feuding and fussing and fighting between the various political parties, between the various races. Well, that's not the peace spoken of here. The peace that Paul refers to is that peace we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ. God has declared his peace to a world of fallen sinners. Christ himself is our peace, Paul writes elsewhere. It is because of God's grace in Christ and the faith that the Holy Spirit has bestowed upon you to believe in Christ that you now have peace with God. Peace that does not pass away. Peace that endures all the troubles you may experience in this life. So these are Paul's words to you, God's people. Grace to you. To you, members of Mount Olive, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Jesus gave himself for your sins, for all of your sins, for each and every bit of your sins. There wasn't a little particle of sin that he did not die for. He died for the whole boatload of your sin. So if he did that, there's nothing for you to do to earn God's forgiveness, to make God be gracious to you. God has already decided to do that for the sake of his Son. Paul had preached the gospel to the Galatians, and they had taken hold of that gospel with a firm faith. They had received that gospel gladly, but then Paul receives word that his beloved church in Galatia is being troubled by these Judaizers. And they are listening to these Judaizers. And they are thinking, you know, maybe Paul didn't have it quite right. Maybe these Judaizers are the ones teaching the true gospel. The word gospel means good news. It doesn't mean, so-so news. It means good news, great news. The good news of God's love for you in Christ Jesus. The good news that God has taken away all of your sins for Jesus' sake. And have no doubt, you, as I am, are a sinner. Paul lists some of these sins, some of these works of the flesh, of the sinful nature. Now, the works of the sinful nature are evident, which are adultery, not merely the physical act of adultery, but the desire, the lust, fornication, there is the physical act, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, quarrelings. Within the church? Nah, never happens. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you were really thinking about these things that Paul listed here, these sins, if you really understand that we have sinned against God, not merely in our deeds, but in our thoughts and in our words, you will recognize your need of a Savior. You will recognize that and give thanks to God that He has provided that Savior in Christ Jesus. And you will rejoice that this is the gospel, that God has done the work in Christ, that there is nothing for you to add in order for you to be forgiven of your sins and saved. Christ has done it all. Therefore, as Paul says, I won't boast in myself. I will gladly, therefore, boast in the cross of Christ Jesus, by which the world was crucified to me and I to the world. This is the gospel. This is what the gospel that the Judaizers were trying to subvert. Paul calls it a different gospel, an other gospel. And he says, actually, there is not another gospel. There is not another gospel. There is not another proclamation of good news. Paul goes on to make a rhetorical point. Let's say, he says, that an angel from heaven, or even I myself, were to preach to you another gospel other than that which I preached to you originally. Well, let that being be accursed under God's wrath, anathema to God, distasteful God, something that makes God want to throw up. Let that person who preaches another gospel be accursed. Hey, turn on the TV, listen to the radio, and you'll hear all kinds of people who preach another gospel besides that of Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Some who have mass followings. Some who have large, humongous churches. Joel Osteen comes to mind. They are preaching another gospel. A gospel that is good news according to the fallen human nature. Good news of prosperity, of health. Good news that everything will go right if you follow God's principles. Well, Jesus was faithful and everything didn't go right for Him, thanks be to God. Because when things didn't go right for Him and He was crucified, that was your salvation and mine. As we have said before, Paul continues, so I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you other than that you have received as a gift from God, let that person be accursed. Now, the Judaizers were saying, hey, Paul softened the gospel. He left important things out because he was trying to win a following among you. He was trying to please you. He was trying to persuade you to see things his way. But Paul denies that in very strong terms by asking, do I now persuade men? Am I a man pleaser? Or am I a God pleaser? For if I still sought to please man, I would not be a slave of Christ. See, the preacher of the gospel cannot be a man pleaser. He can be a pleaser of that new man in Christ, the new creation which you are. But he dare not please the sinful nature. He dare not please the unbeliever. He dare not please those who are guilty of heresy and false teaching. He is required to preach the truth in the strongest of terms. And likewise with you, in your confession of faith, don't soft pedal the gospel. Don't soft pedal the fact that we are not saved by the good things that we do, which we live in a culture here in the Bible Belt full of people who believe that. Hey, I don't drink, unless when there's no one around to see me. I don't smoke. I don't look at internet pornography, except occasionally. Now, I do my best to be a good and holy person. I don't do the things that people in the world do. I try hard. I try my best. So I'm sure God is pleased with me. I live a good life. If anyone deserves to go to heaven, if anyone is in heaven, it will be me when I die. You see the problem there? The focus on Christ is lost. You will be in heaven when you die because of Jesus. You will be in heaven when you die because of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. You will be in heaven when you die because God has made His peace with you through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you know what? Right here, right now, this is the antechamber to heaven. This is the place where God dwells because we are His house. And He is present among us through the proclamation of His word. Yeah, God is here. You can't see Him, you can't touch Him, but He makes Himself known to you in the preaching of His word. God is here. The baptismal font at the entrance to this chapel is a reminder of the fact that God chose you in Christ, that God washed away your sins, that you now bear the name of the triune God, the saving name, the name above all names, the name of the only God there is, ever has been, or ever will be. This is God's house. You are His people. God is present among you today in the sacrament of the altar. You know, that's why we've come, to hear the word and to receive the gift of Jesus' body and blood, trusting in Him to give the gifts that we need for our salvation. Being baptized is not a work people do for God. Rather, it is the work of a gracious God for on behalf of sinful people. The absolution of sins is not a work of man. It is the work of God on behalf of sinful people. The preaching of the gospel is not a work of man. It is the living voice of God bringing you life through the forgiveness of sins. And partaking of the sacrament is not a work of man. It is the work of God for your Savior, Jesus Christ, who became incarnate for you, is present in His body and His blood, the body and blood that were broken for you on the cross, were shed for you. The very fruits of the crucifixion here present for you to receive as a gift of God's grace, as a gift of God's mercy. And you don't have to become a Jew to benefit from this. You don't have a list of do's and don'ts. Don't smoke, don't drink. Do give 12% of your income. Do avoid bad company. Do this, don't do that. No. It's not a matter of the things we do or don't do. It's a matter of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. And on account of this, you are God's people in Christ. You are God's beloved in Christ, each and every one of you. And you know what? Nothing you can do can make God love you anymore, and nothing you can do can make Him love you any less. This is the good news of the true gospel. And apart from this, there is no other gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.